Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today is a day of power, of glory, of might, as Jesus has risen from the dead to defeat death, to pay for our sins, and to show that he has power over all of our enemies in this world. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, there's a lot of things that threaten us, that give us trouble in this world. And I don't know, maybe you recognize this little bug, if you will. It's if you've seen a picture of it, it's a picture of the coronavirus, right? And it's interesting that when you look at the name of the coronavirus, that first part in Latin, corona, means crown. And as I look at the coronavirus, I see all of these little like red crowns coming up. And for the last few weeks, the month or so, the world has been obsessed with this coronavirus, captured in its crowns. It's my hope and my prayer today that instead of being captured and obsessed by this virus, that we may be obsessed by the one who wore a crown for us, even Jesus, our Savior, the King of the Jews. On Good Friday, Jesus was beaten by soldiers, and they mocked him by placing on him a crown of thorns. Jesus carried a cross to Golgotha, and there on the cross, Jesus died. He said, "It is finished." On the cross, the work of Christ was accomplished. On the cross, Jesus carried upon his shoulders the sin, the brokenness, the troubles of this world. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he means it's paid for. It's taken away. Jesus on the cross has taken all of our shame and our guilt and our sin, and he's paid for it. So that now before God, whoever trusts in Jesus, we're holy, forgiven of our sins. But for the women who followed Jesus, who followed him while during his earthly ministry, they watched with great fear and anguish as their Savior, the Messiah, died on that cross. His body was laid into a tomb. And then early Sunday morning, they went to the tomb with fear and uncertainty. They weren't sure what they were going to find. They weren't sure who was going to roll the stone away for them because they wanted to anoint Jesus' dead body. But when they got to the grave, they were in for a surprise. They got there and they found that the stone was rolled away and that the tomb no longer had a body, but the tomb was empty. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Not only was the stone rolled away, but they encountered an angel who told to them these words that are so important for them and for us, as we might find ourselves in a place of fear and uncertainty. The angel said to them, and if you can read on the screen with me, what did they say? They said, "Do not be afraid." Aren't those powerful words? In the midst of a situation filled with fear and uncertainty, the first words that we hear from God are, "Do not be afraid." But then they knew what the women were looking for. They knew what they were longing for. They were seeking Jesus who was crucified. But the angels tell the women, "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come." The women are invited, "Come, see the place where he lay." On this Easter Sunday, Jesus invites us. You're invited to come see. Come hear the evidence. Come hear God's word that points to a tomb that is empty, a Savior who is risen. And so the women look into the tomb, and then they depart to tell the disciples what they had found. Scripture says that they left still with fear, but they also had joy. Joy because something had happened. They didn't understand, but something that had happened that changed some of their fear and replaced it with joy. And as they were going back to the disciples, they encountered Jesus. Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And what were Jesus' words to the women? "Do not be afraid." That's right. Jesus also said to them, he knew what they were feeling, what they were going through. And he said, "Do not be afraid." And the women responded as you and I do when we encounter the risen Savior. They came up, took hold of him because Jesus was physically risen from the dead, and they worshiped him. That's what Easter is about. It's about experiencing the risen Savior and worshiping him. It's something that happened in history, something that happened in this world that changed the world, that changed the women, that changed the disciples, that changed everybody that experienced the risen Lord. Something happened that changed the world. And so some people think of Christianity as, you know, it's just like it's a crutch, it's a philosophy, or just another religion. But Christianity, following Jesus, is so much more than that. Christianity is the proclamation of something that happened, something that was rooted in history, lives that were changed as people encountered a risen, physical Jesus Christ who died and who rose again. One of the examples of someone who was changed by the risen Savior was Paul. For Paul, he received a wake-up call. I don't know about you, but I really don't like wake-up calls. You know, if I'm staying in a hotel or for a conference, wake-up calls, I'd much rather wake up to my own alarm than a phone that kind of jars you awake. This last January, my wife and I, Annie and I, were able to have a trip. And we went to Israel, and every morning, our hosts, our tour guides, arranged a wake-up call for us. And usually, it was a little bit earlier than what I wanted it, but no, we couldn't cancel it. We called, we tried. Every morning, there was this phone going off, waking us up. But why? Why was the wake-up call so important? While we were in Israel, they wanted to make sure that we were awake so that we didn't miss anything, any of the places, any of the opportunities to walk where Jesus walked, to see Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee, to go in these places where Jesus lived and had his ministry. The wake-up calls were important so that we didn't miss anything. I wonder if this Easter, this time in the United States where there's no sporting events, where the stock market has crashed, where there's no entertainment or concerts, where we're confined to our homes, I wonder if this is a wake-up call. A wake-up call for our nation, a wake-up call for our world, so that we don't miss this important event, Jesus rising from the dead. A wake-up call for people to realize what's really important in our lives. Relationships. People. Helping one another out. These are all things that I think this coronavirus is happening in our life. It's my prayer that it makes us as a nation, as individuals, as families, as churches, stronger. Because we're focusing on what's really important, not just getting by, but focusing on the people that God has placed around us, focusing on the greatest message of all, that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so one of the people who had a wake-up call, I said this earlier, was Paul. Paul was this Jew who actually persecuted the early church. He went after and dragged Christians and put them into jail. Well, one day he was going to Damascus, and there was a bright light that shone from heaven. And Paul heard this voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul saw Jesus. He saw the risen Lord Jesus, and it changed his life. He had this event, and it changed his understanding of the world. So that Paul, one of the great missionaries that God used to spread the good news of Jesus, wrote this in Romans 8:1-4. God declared Jesus to be the Son of God with power by what? By the resurrection. And so part of the work of the resurrection is to show God's power, his power to defeat death, his power to forgive sins, his power to change the world one person at a time. Paul also told Timothy, one of his young disciples, that Jesus Christ has destroyed death. Do you get that? He didn't just, you know, pay for sins. He just didn't die. But Jesus Christ destroyed death. For all who believe in Jesus, we no longer die, but we live. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus has destroyed death, and he has ushered in life. Life for all who wake up and recognize that Jesus is the Lord of the living. Jesus also says and brings us something so important. He brings us peace. Jesus says in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. True peace, living peace. In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble, all right? That's true, that's a given. In this world, we will have trouble. But Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And when we trust in Jesus, what do we have? Peace. Our sins are forgiven. We die a death to rise up a new creation in Christ. And the peace that passes all human understanding, it fills our hearts and our minds. I'd like to close today with a story about a missionary. A missionary who was called and went to Brazil. And in Brazil, he found a group of natives there who lived isolated from everyone else. They lived on the other side of a large river. And one day while he was visiting with them, he noticed that some of them were sick and some of them were dying. In fact, there was a disease that broke out among these natives, and they were dying. The missionary knew that there was a hospital just on the other side of this river that the natives could go and get help. But the tribe believed that in the river, it was a river of death, that there were evil spirits that lived in the water in that river, and so they were afraid to cross the river. Across the river was help and was life and was healing. And so the missionary was desperate to find a way to help them get across that river that they viewed as death. And so the missionary put his two feet in the water and said, come, follow me. But they said, no way. Then the missionary walked into the middle of the river where it was about waist deep, and he splashed the water on his face, and they still wouldn't follow him. Finally, the missionary, he dove into the water, and he swam to the other side of this river. And on the other side of the river, he raised up his arms in victory and said, I made it. And the natives said, he didn't die. And so they followed him through the river they thought was death. But because the missionary went through it and didn't die, they followed him and were able to get help. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He went through the river of death. Jesus went through death, dying the death we deserve, but he came out alive so that all who follow him may share in that life. You know, Psalm 23 puts it this way, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. God, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. May you and I because Jesus lived, died, and rose again. Live in his peace, filled with his joy, knowing that in Christ there is true life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Holy Father, thank you for the joy you give us this Easter morning, that Jesus has died, but he has rose again. Fill us with your peace and your joy. Help us to hear Jesus' words. Do not be afraid. Lord, with all the uncertainty, with all the fears in this world today, thank you for sending us your Son, who was born and wrapped in human flesh, who lived a life of healing and of hope and teaching about your kingdom. And then Jesus, thank you for taking our place and dying our death on the cross, being placed in a tomb, and on the third day rising from the dead. Help us, Lord, to know that you have defeated death, destroyed death now and forever, that whoever trusts in you has life. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your holy and precious and powerful name. Amen.